Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. It's Rockwell Peterson.
And Isaac Wilhelmy.
It's great to have you guys back. Let's get it rolling. So, to kick things off, how have you been, man?
I've been good. You know, school's kind of kicking my ass, but...
That's fair.
Semester's almost over. Excited for Christmas break.
Hell yeah, man. Happy to hear it. I am too. It'll be nice to have everybody home. I think it's going to lead to a big boost at the bars, honestly.
Yeah. Boosting business for
you. Absolutely. I ain't complaining.
Yeah.
How
are you doing? How's your business doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's been really, really good. Got 28 guys on my payroll now, just kind of keeping things rolling. Got a lot of good stuff on the horizon. Not going to talk about it till it's official and signed, of course, but...
Understandable.
Some good opportunities. Yeah. Some good opportunities.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right, so we had a conversational, a little conversation about some psychology and mind tricks.
Body language and de-escalation techniques.
I want to talk about that a little bit more, go deeper into that. Of course, have our listeners hear it too.
Absolutely.
We know.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of really fascinating things to touch on in this realm, especially from the standpoint of de-escalation and how humans get aggressive, because there is a bunch of different adrenaline response types that I've found. So based on your genetics and the type of stuff that your ancestors did, your body will actually respond naturally to adrenaline differently. So it's more complex than just fight or flight or freeze.
Okay.
So some people get tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And will become incredibly focused on one thing.
Mm-hmm. And not pay attention to anything else around them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so with people like that, I've found that I actually have to insert myself directly in their face so that their only field of view and vision is me if I want to reach through to them.
Yeah.
Because you need to break that focus point. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, that's why you see people getting held back. That's the kind of person that does that tunnel vision. They're not paying attention to you trying to talk to them behind them. They don't care. Most of the time they can't even hear you. And their brain isn't cognitively registering you. They are focused entirely on the threat.
Yeah, they're trying to go straight for it.
Exactly.
But you have to break that line.
Exactly. And then some people have an adrenaline response type like I do, where you start getting shaky. Mm-hmm. So like my knee will start going and my whole body will start tensing up and getting shaky, ready to go forwards. You know what I mean? And a lot of people will experience all of this to some level, but you'll be able to, the more you pay attention to it and study it, you will be more, how do I put this, attuned to a certain kind. You know, it'll express itself most commonly in you.
So one more than the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you'll start shaking and your body gets really, really tense, and I just get the need to like move forwards. You know what I mean? It's not exactly like a runaway response. It's a, I'm trying to get to you as fast as possible, but I become focused on a myriad of things around me. So instead of hyper focusing on one point and getting tunnel vision, I actually have trouble focusing on just one thing because I'm trying to pay attention to everything at once.
Yeah.
And so
I feel like I'm the same way. It's like when my adrenaline kicks in, I'm paying attention to
everything.
Sound, every movement, everything.
Absolutely.
Like if a leaf falls off the tree, I notice it.
Yeah.
It's while looking at something else.
Crazy. It's crazy. And if you're looking to get more in touch with that adrenaline response side of you and to understand it more, intermittent fasting has actually been proven to incredibly increase your connection with your more primordial side. So humans are only meant to eat once a day around 6 o'clock and graze outside of that. And so if you do that for 5 or 6 days, not saying starve yourself or don't eat, but eat one good meal a day and just kind of snack the rest of the day. And you'll notice that colors become brighter, sounds become louder, and you're better at locating them. And if you go on it for 2 weeks, you'll begin to be able to smell the location of water. It's crazy. Like,
jeez.
Yeah, you can A human being can smell water, I believe, up to 30 feet underground.
Holy crap.
If you are, like, truly dehydrated, yeah, it's holy crazy. Crap. It's a lot of stuff that we've kind of lost touch to because we've become soft, yeah, comfortable. Soft, we haven't had to use it.
Materialistic, and we have the opportunity to eat three meals a day.
Exactly.
And then we're not dehydrated to where we can tell that we can smell water.
Exactly. Exactly. Not only that, but you can start to taste the difference in water based on how much minerals are in it and what kind of minerals are in it. You know, and you don't experience that as much in a big city because it is so processed, which is fascinating to me, that based on the water treatment, it actually impacts not only the effect that the water has on your hair and your skin, but also internally. I'm not a huge fan of soft water.
Yeah. There's a lot of water. Like, what was it? A few weeks ago, one of my buddies, he's like asking my roommate, can you taste a difference in water? She's like, no. And I'm like, I can.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
Big, big difference. You know, and some people like are better at it than others. And
Pure life water. Like, huge difference. But some people can't.
No.
Taste the difference.
Not at all. I mean, before I started doing intermittent fasting, I couldn't taste the difference either. You know what I mean? But now that I am doing it, Dasani's not good.
No.
Dasani's not good.
Got lead and shit in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to like defusing.
And de-escalation.
De-escalation, yeah.
Yeah. And so some people it's similar to the freeze response. So based off of the shakiness of it, some people will actually attempt to overcorrect for it and tighten up all their muscles and cause some of their joints to lock. And then people like that will actually become internally focused. So based on your adrenaline response and how internally versus externally your focuses impacts how that expresses itself. So if you sit down and meditate and close your eyes and focus on things, if you're an internally aware person, you'll be able to hear your heart rate. You'll be able to feel, you know, your breath more. Mm-hmm. Whereas as an externally aware person, like myself, I'm better at picking up sounds around me when I'm meditating. You know what I mean? Smells around me. So it's where you focus on. And the nice thing is you can actually improve your ability in internal versus external awareness by choosing to focus on it more.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, how?
Yeah, so
focus on it more and just understand what you are to improve it.
Okay. Exactly. So if you can become more practice in processing that information and teaching yourself to be aware of it, it'll make you a more well-rounded person and more aware of whether it be your internal environment or your external environment. Mm. And so some people throw up based off of the shakiness on the come down of adrenaline. Some people will hit this emotional low coming off of it. And some people will be incredibly jacked up. You know what I mean? Yeah, and so, exactly. And so part of that is also just how the cortisol in your brain expresses itself and how you process and deal with that. And so those are two of the main adrenaline responses that I've found outside of freeze, where, like I said, you kind of lock all your joints up, go stiff as a board, you know. Yeah. It's almost like playing dead, you know what I mean? And that's
like the fainting goats.
Yeah, it's more of a prey response.
Yeah.
So there's prey, predator, and, as I like to call it, sheepdog. Like wolves, sheep, sheepdog.
Okay.
A sheepdog response is going to be that extremely aware and shaky.
Mm-hmm.
The predator response is going to be incredibly focused.
Tunnel vision.
Yep. And then the prey response, the sheep response, is to freeze.
Okay. Would the freezing be like the flight kind of? Or
fight versus flight, yeah, I've found, comes down more so to mentality.
Okay.
Than it does to adrenaline response.
Okay.
So a lot of people are really, really good fighters with the shakiness,
mm-hmm,
because you can actually use that. It's a speed and strength boost to your body regardless, as soon as adrenaline kicks in. Yep. You know what I mean? But if your mentality is, I'm going to go forwards at these people, and you choose fight, and you train yourself to choose fight, mm-hmm. it can become incredibly useful.
Yeah.
But if you train yourself to
flight
and run away with that shakiness, then you will.
Yeah. Which will also help because you move faster and you're just...
Exactly. And you're not supposed to run straight towards every single problem either. There are situations where, it's a better idea to run. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there's that middle ground that some people naturally are at. And you can train yourself to express it more in each of these areas because it's how your adrenaline response comes out. Mm-hmm. But the predator is incredibly good in a one-on-one situation where you are hunting a prey, which will usually freeze or run. You know what I mean? That's why you got to be incredibly focused. But people with that adrenaline response have to teach themselves how to expand their vision and learn how to snap themselves out of that tunnel vision. Because I've seen a lot of guys get trapped there until I break that line of vision.
Yeah. That makes sense. Dang. This is a lot of good information to know.
Absolutely. Because
if you know what type you are and like how you respond to adrenaline, then you can focus on it, you can train it. Because I know a lot of people who, when they get adrenaline, they don't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
And they can't control it and they just...
Stress inoculation. Let it take over them. Stress inoculation is an incredibly important thing, I believe, in everybody's life.
Hmm. What is that?
So,
more deeply.
Inoculation is basically giving yourself a vaccine to stress. So by introducing yourself slowly to measured amounts of stress and pressure, you actually train yourself
to handle more.
To handle it more and to be better at handling it. And so a lot of people who don't take the time to put themselves through some of those stress inoculation techniques don't know what to do when you hit that point. And it's not their fault. It's just they've never dealt with it before.
Yeah, that's fair. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, in all honesty, if you don't... What is that? Slowly train yourself.
Exactly.
You're going to break down. You're going to freak out when that time does come, when it's a lot.
A lot of people don't realize. I know it's a cliche, but everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it will never go down where you hit a dude once, no matter what you have, and he's just going to go down. Mm-hmm. You will, if you've never done it before, but you got to remember, and you have to assume that any person you are dealing with or fighting against or doing anything in a competitive aspect, you must train yourself to assume that they know more than you do.
Yeah. And you have to expect the unexpected. Like,
exactly.
No matter what's going to happen. Like, especially if it's like a street fight.
Oh, yeah.
Anything goes.
Well, I've had guys hit me with baseball bats before, and the look on their face when I don't just fold, they don't know what to do because their whole plan was, I'm going to hit this dude with a baseball bat.
And they expect you to fold.
Exactly.
And then they freak out.
They don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it's a common thing with fighters that you'll find where they'll talk about being rusty after not having been in the ring for a while. Mm-hmm. What that rustiness is they haven't inoculized themselves to stress in a while. And so you actually are more anxious and afraid when you are stepping into, even if you're just sparring, mm-hmm. with people that you've sparred with before. Still, if you haven't done it in a while, your body's going to have more of that adrenaline response and it's going to be harder to control because you haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's just a fact of life.
Like, I know, because I've heard that taking like ice baths, super beneficial, like, for the entire body, inside and out. And with that comes stress because you're in an uncomfortable situation. And so anything that, like, if you want to train little amounts of stress, just start taking ice baths or turning the shower to cold at the end for like 30 seconds.
So
just to start training yourself. That's probably the easiest way for people to do it.
When you get stabbed, your body's response to the cold steel entering your human temperature flesh is the exact same response that you have when you jump into a cold pool. So actual advice that has been given to me is if you want to practice and train your body to be able to respond effectively if you've been stabbed and continue fighting, take a really hot shower, then at the very end, turn it cold and shadow box for a minute.
Okay.
It will train your body to continue swinging after you get stabbed, physiologically.
Huh.
Yeah.
Never heard that. That's pretty good information.
It's crazy, like right? It's crazy.
Yeah. That's good information. I want to go back to the, like, this, all this is about training yourself.
Absolutely.
All we're talking about is about training yourself to be in situations where you're not comfortable, you're not used to, so you can control yourself more when you are in that situation.
Absolutely.
And I want to go back to, like, how you said people fold when they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And I know, like, we've sparred a lot together, and that just reminded me of one of the last times we sparred. You're like, all right, I'm going to hit you in the face because you need to know what it feels like. You need to know what it's like. I'm like, I don't like this, but I understand why.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Happy to. Well, you're not supposed to like it. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing that I try to explain to people is they're like, oh, I don't like getting hit. No one does.
Yeah.
No one does. If they tell you that they like getting hit in the face, they're either a masochist or they're lying to you. That's it. That's the only two things. Outside of that, nobody likes getting hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fun experience for anybody. I've been in boxing for almost 3 years now. I still don't enjoy getting hit in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You never will.
No, but you get better at doing it. Exactly. So statistically, an untrained, unathletic person, the range to knock you out, kill you, or break your neck and give you a concussion, 5 to 15 PSI. That's how people die from slipping and hitting their head on countertops, tables. That's what it is, because your neck muscles actually aren't trained to take that impact, because it's a very specific, how do I explain this? It's a very specific stabilizer muscle group that a lot of people have stopped using. So a lot of people will get kind of knocked around, even from people shoulder checking them, because they're not used to using those stabilizer muscles. So if you want to make yourself better, train those stabilizer muscles. Now, I'm not saying go have your buddies punch you in the face really hard to train yourself for that.
Yeah.
First thing you want to do, this is going to sound really, really weird, but it's worked for me. Put the side of your face up against like the corner of a wall, and then put a book up against it there, and just press. You can also do it with your hand. Just press against it with your neck, and then push your face back towards the wall and just kind of train those neck muscles to be able to resist that pressure, because it's the exact same when you take that impact. And then the reason that I recommend the book is as you move up, then you can start hitting the book, so then it's not direct pressure or impact on your brain or your jaw or your facial tissue, but you can still train that muscle response to make yourself more effective and more likely to survive even just hitting your head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't even have to be a combat scenario. Because I know a lot of people, 90% of people go through life without ever getting in a fight.
Yep.
Which is crazy to me. It's unfathomable.
Yeah, that's probably why you hear about fights a lot more, because it doesn't happen a lot.
And I'm a front lines man. You know what I mean? I've always been on the front lines of things like that. And so it's just, it was inconceivable to me when I thought about it. But the more that I've met people outside of that specific world, the more I realize how true it is, you know? And so I forget the knowledge that I have specific to the life that I've lived. And that's the same with everybody. It's a natural human response to assume that everybody's like you.
Yeah, but no one's like you.
Exactly, and so that's a very important thing that I try to really stress with people is every single day, if you're living your life right, you're learning a lesson. And what makes or breaks your life is whether or not you pass that on or not. Mm. You want to make the world a better place. Take the lessons that you learn and pass it on. Because sometimes just putting something into words and conceptualizing it can change somebody else's life in ways that you would never even imagine.
Yeah, even a one-minute conversation.
Exactly.
It's insane.
Just a quick piece of advice.
Yeah.
Makes a huge difference.
I want to bounce off that a little bit. Like you said, every day you learn something.
Absolutely.
You do learn something every day, but it's, you got to know what you learned. You got to understand what you learned to actually put it into place.
Exactly. And part of that is learning to be cognitively aware of the world around you and your life and being self-reflective and self-aware. Mm. Be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Always be honest with yourself. Because the only one you hurt by lying to yourself is you. Yourself.
Yeah.
It's you. Yeah. At the end of the day, you're hurting yourself by pretending in your mind that you are more than what you are or less than what you are. Because I've met people that do both.
Mm-hmm.
And it's equally damaging in both directions.
Yeah. And if they keep doing it, they're going to end up believing.
Exactly.
Like, if you keep lying to yourself, you're going to end becomes up the believing truth. That. It becomes yeah. the truth. And therefore, like, it's not the truth, though. Because you lied to yourself, but you believe it is the truth.
And then your whole reality becomes a lie because you've lost touch with reality.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes.
Just truth.
Yeah.
Be true to yourself. Like, see, that's the thing I don't get about people. Like, liars, especially. I do not like liars.
Me neither.
And why do people need to lie? Like,
because it's easier. Because it's more comfortable.
That's fair.
And we've become a society that is focused on comfort above all else.
Which is horrible.
Yeah. Don't always take the easy way out. No. Because every path is not the correct path. And if you're living your life correctly and paying attention to some of that stuff, you'll realize it more and more.
Yeah. So, don't lie.
Yeah.
that's main yeah. part. Don't yeah. lie. And with training, you gotta understand why you're training yourself to do it.
Absolutely.
You're not gonna like it, no. but it's necessary.
Absolutely.
So, I think that's a good time for an ad break.
Absolutely.
So we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you guys for sticking around. Welcome back. It's great to be here.
Of course.
So, touching on some of what we were just discussing, a trained athletic person who is used to getting hit in the face, so if you use some of those techniques that I was talking about to kind of train your stabilizer muscles,
mm-hmm.
It increases the range to knock you out, give you a concussion, possibly, you know, kill you or break your neck. It goes from 5 to 15 PSI, jumps up to 6 to 900 PSI.
Holy crap.
Just by learning to use your stabilizer muscles means that you can take a punch. Anybody can take a punch from some of the biggest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Just by being able to know and train your body to respond effectively.
That's about 100 times 100.
Yeah.
From what it normally is.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's insane. It is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And that's why.
I mean, if you think about it, 5 to 15 PSI.
Not much.
Not much.
Not much. Not much.
A lot of people can get that in a 1-inch punch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. A lot of people can get that from a slap.
Yeah. Is insane.
Yeah. Like I said, hitting your head really, really hard while walking downstairs is more PSI than that.
Yeah. That's how people die.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, and Jesus. Makes a big difference. And then one of the most fascinating things that I've found is touching on the adrenaline response types. If you are watching a crowd and you're looking for aggression, a lot of people say look for fast movements. No. Some people, when they're excited, will move quickly and excitedly.
Yeah.
What you need to look for is watch the veins in the hands, the neck, and the face.
Because it'll be bulging.
Exactly. So even people with deep veins, you'll be able to notice a color change in the skin, and you'll be able to notice the muscles swelling if you are an attentive and observant person. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to see the muscles filling up with blood, and you can watch the body language if they go from their baseline, whatever that may be. You know, a relaxed person becomes really, really stiff. A slow person starts moving quickly. A quick person starts moving slowly. Watch for things that are off about their demeanor.
Opposite.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how it makes sense, but it makes sense.
It makes sense. Like, yeah, it's putting words to and conceptualizing things that we observe around us. And that's one of my biggest things is if you notice something and you're like, oh, that's weird.
That seems off.
Yeah. Pass that on.
Yeah.
Pass that on. You know what I mean? Be like, oh, I noticed this really, really weird thing about stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of people probably agree with you and notice the same things.
Yeah.
The difference is a lot of people don't know how to put words to it or conceptualize it. And so your brain can't understand, process, or relate to something that you don't have words for. And that's one of the biggest powers of communication and the power of the spoken and written word
in human psychology. Power.
Yeah, like
a lot of power.
We would not have put so much effort and evolutionary evolvement, basically. Like I'm trying to we
put a lot of work towards
it. Yeah. Yeah, because
it means something.
We evolved to be better at communicating the way that we do.
Yeah.
Because it makes such a difference. We have been able to do what we do. The intelligence of humans comes from our ability to communicate the way that we do.
Yeah. We've worked towards it.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't just disregard it.
Absolutely.
And not pay attention to it. Because Absolutely. It means something.
And so one of the things...
But it's hard finding the meaning behind it.
It is.
So that's why you gotta understand yourself and how to interpret it. And
I've found that a lot of people don't know how to play the game. A lot of people know how to play the game, but don't know the meaning behind the game. Mm-hmm. And the people who win the most and do the best in life are the ones who understand the game. And now the game is every time you have an interaction with another human being, it is an imperfect communication from one brain to another and an attempt to understand each other. And at the end of the day, all people really want is to be understood. And so a lot of people will become self-involved and not look outside themselves. If you want to connect and communicate with people effectively, learn their language, because each and every person will have their own dialect, their own language, their own preferences and vocabulary and word choice.
Mm-hmm.
Learn that. Pay attention to that, not only with the spoken word, but in their body language. Mirror that.
And that's going to help you understand them.
Absolutely. And communicate more effectively.
Yeah. Because like you said, everybody wants to be understood. And so if you want to be understood and respected, you got to understand and respect the other person first.
Absolutely. Respect given is respect earned.
Yes. Exactly.
And so we were talking about this a little bit before, but just for the listeners, people from different areas of the country actually square up differently when put under situations of pressure or uncomfortability or anxiety. And it's not just in a fight situation that you'll square up. Mm-hmm. It's a natural response of the body. And so a lot of people from the West Coast will be very open. You'll see chest back. You'll see legs about shoulder width apart and arms out or to the side.
Yep.
Typically chin up. It's a very, very open confrontation response.
Mm-hmm.
Match that. People from the Midwest tend to do hand on the belt or in the pockets or on the sides of their hips or crossed, you know. Obviously, this goes for a lot of different people based on the subcultural group of your area, but learning to study and understand that and recognize that in other people makes a huge difference. So. Yeah. Midwesterners tend to have their jaws down and a more closed off body language. So shoulders, I like to call it boxing shoulders. when somebody feels threatened and they know how to fight, watch for this. They'll roll their shoulders forwards. A lot of people who don't know how to fight will pull their shoulders back really, really far. And then people from the south or the southern areas of the United States tend to have a more open style where it'll be chin up, but chin up and shoulders, you know, more back and open rather than turned and closed off. But they'll do a similar thing to the Midwesterners with hands on the belt, hands in the pockets. Because don't forget, each cultural region in the United States are basically cousins with each other. We all have different similarities with each other. And so being able to use what you're already comfortable with and then learn what you're not comfortable with and get comfortable with it will make a big difference.
Yeah.
And then people from the East Coast tend to be a lot more closed off. So chin will come down, shoulders will come forwards and to the side a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of arm crossing, a lot of kind of
like hunching
down. Yeah. So being able to learn how to relate to and process some of that makes a huge difference. Because West and South tend to be slower movements, whereas Midwest and East tend to be more
fast. Jolty.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
You said match that. Why do you want to match that?
So that's part of, as we were talking about, making the person feel understood. So you want to show them that you know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a situation like that, especially with people you don't know, the more people that you can have on your side in your tribe, in air quotes, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Show them that you know what's up.
By showing them
you understand. Own. Exactly. Mirror that, reflect that back to them.
Yeah.
And they immediately in their mind go, this person's on my side.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
Because he's doing what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Just goes back to that understanding. Okay.
110%.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. No, it's a really fascinating field. And the more that you break it down and get into it, the more interesting it becomes, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of anything else to really touch on in that area. I'm sure there's more, but yeah.
There's so much to body language.
Absolutely.
Like, especially with speaking, like at an event, if you're the lead speaker, just talking to someone, understanding if someone likes you or not based off their body language, because I know body language speaks a lot more than words, because it's their natural response to how they're reacting to this situation.
It's a subconscious reaction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then a little piece of advice that just popped into my mind. A lot of people have asked me where, you know, confidence comes from, because it's a really fascinating philosophical debate to me.
Mm.
Like, where does confidence come from? What is confidence? Because attempting to quantify it is difficult, and a lot of people don't understand what it is and think you either have it or you don't. I've found that confidence is accepting yourself, your reality, and the things that you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Touching on, like we said earlier, don't lie to yourself, and you will be a more confident person.
Yeah, no, and you can become more confident. Like you said, some people think that you have it or you don't. No, it's, you can train yourself, going back to training, you can train yourself to be more confident by accepting who you are, and if you don't want to accept who you are, then change who you are.
Exactly.
Because you can do that. You can change yourself to who you want to be, and if you don't want to do that, you just got to accept yourself and have the right mindset to do so to become more confident.
Absolutely. And never forget that it may seem daunting and overwhelming to do some of this self-improvement stuff and to get into doing some of this stuff, or just to become a better person in general. But remember, all you got to do and all you got to focus on is being 1% better every day.
Yeah. That makes you 365% better every year.
Every year.
And that's a lot. That's a big increase.
Yeah. It's 3.5 of you.
Yeah.
You will be 3.5 times the person you are now.
Than you were last year.
Than you were last year if you just try to be 1% better every day. And part of that's that self-reflection, self-awareness. Be like, in the past, I did this. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel good about it. So I'm going to do this instead. Boom.
Yeah.
Done. You're already a better person. You've already made that step and that improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your 1% better for the day.
And 1% is not a lot.
No.
It's not.
Not at all. Especially when you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
You're already there.
Yeah.
So, don't focus on, oh, but what if I'm 30% better by the end of the month, and then I got to be 31% better next month. No, you are 1% better every day. Focus on that. Small goals.
Yes. Because a lot of people, some people just think, oh, I got to be this by the end of the year. They're looking at it like long term compared to daily, which is short term.
Absolutely.
If you go short term, you work on your objectives short term, it's going to be easier.
Exactly. Makes a huge, huge, huge difference.
Yeah. Everybody wants to make things easier.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Not bad.
Yeah. Well, if there's nothing else to go over.
I don't think there is. Not at this moment. We had a good
discussion. Not at this moment.
Good discussion.
Absolutely. Shorter episode today. I appreciate you guys being along for the ride. And don't forget.
Keep pondering.